You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spell.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
And KLRN Radio's Wednesday night programming. I am the Grouch. I'll be kicking things off tonight as the leadoff man of your grand slam, if you will, of conservative talk radio. Sorry about the slight delay. We had some technical issues, probably on my end, even though we can't confirm that. Damn it, Seymour. Anyway... Yeah, it was probably on my end. My internet is through my TV cable system, and it has been rebooting itself a couple of times over the last few hours. So there's probably a chance that we might lose connectivity during the program. And if so, Rick knows what to do. He'll play the what's the song, Rick? The rooster song.
The rooster song.
I don't know. I thought that's what it was that everybody hated. I don't know. Anyway, you know the song I'm talking about. We'll keep everybody's hands clapping and feet stomping and butt puckered and, you know, all that good stuff. Coming up after me, top of the next hour, is the Red Wine. The lovely ladies of the Red Wine will be here entertaining us. I don't know who's on the couch. I don't know if they have a guest. If they do have a guest, I can almost assure you 100% that it will be a more attractive guest than Hammy was last week. Actually, don't get me wrong. I love Hammy, but he's not a pretty man.
Actually, Hammy's hanging out in one of the co-host chairs today, and I'll grab the guest info in just a second because I saw it. Hang on.
Who's in the chair?
Hammy's actually taking a co-host spot tonight.
Hammy!
Yep. Which means he really does have to put on a skirt now. So make sure everybody reminds him.
So they have 16 women that rotate the Red Wine, and yet we got a dude sitting on the couch co-hosting.
Well, I mean, he's from the...
Ain't that how it works?
He was in the Navy. I mean, you know, just saying.
Well, you know, and I actually dogged somebody online about the Navy today, but that's all right. That's a whole nother story, and it doesn't work without the visual. So anyway, let's see what else is going on. Oh yeah, I'm in Twitmo. You know, please help spread the word. I'm not ignoring anybody. I don't know why going into Twitmo all of a sudden spawns people following me on Twitter. But if somebody wouldn't mind telling, you know, just put out a little PSA, I'll follow them all back in the morning. I just have to get through Twitmo. I can't follow them back right now. I got a little 12-hour slap on the wrist because I went after somebody that was making death threats. You know, I mean, you know, that's how Twitter rolls. As for the other guy, he was permanently suspended. So there is that. I mean, they did something right. They did something wrong, but they did something right too. And if it takes me getting a 12-hour stay to get rid of that kind of trash, I'll take it every time. Every single freaking time. Yeah, look, join Hammy and Di tonight when they are joined by Michael Ingmeyer. Oh, I remember Michael. Yeah, I've been on air with Michael before to talk about where we are on Benghazi and his reflections on his brother George. You don't want to miss it. They'll be coming up right behind me tonight on KLRN Radio, your home of conservative grassroots talk, radio, stuff, and fun. Because we do fun, too. We really do. We prove that on the last Wednesday of every month with the Toxic Masculinity Show. We always have fun there. And let's see. I guess that's about it for all the other
stuff. Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, where are they? I mean, really, it's ridiculous. Look at this chat room. I mean, where are the white women? That's a good question. Let me get up here. Where do I see any white women at all? I see Stacy. I don't know if Stacy's actually in there. She was showing in the chat room when I logged in earlier, but I do not know. But yeah, I mean, it's unreal. Unreal. No white women in the chat. If you're a white woman in chat, raise your hand, because I got my chat machine working now. I can see in there. Yeah. All the white women are at the BLM riot. Oh, I love it. Okay. Let's get this thing rolling, shall we? I've already stalled you a few minutes, and we started a few minutes late, so that should make up for the lack of material I have, being that I threw the show together, let's see, it's 7 now, so 4.5 hours ago. Anyway, look, it took more than 4 decades for the first 2 Muslim-majority countries to recognize and normalize ties with Israel. And now that number has doubled in less than a month, with Kosovo's decision to follow the United Arab Emirates in taking the step. Making that observation at the White House on Friday, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien called it a very remarkable breakthrough. Adding to the significance, Kosovo has agreed to locate its embassy in Jerusalem. If it makes good on that pledge, it would be not only the first Muslim-majority country to have an embassy in Israel's capital, a status disputed by most governments, but one of the first countries of any stripe to follow the U.S. lead. Meanwhile, Serbia, which does have diplomatic ties with Israel and an embassy in Tel Aviv, has also agreed to move its embassy to Jerusalem by July of next year and to open a commercial office in Jerusalem within weeks. Both decisions were part of a broader U.S.-brokered breakthrough announced at the White House on Friday as the feuding Balkan neighbors agreed to a process of economic normalization, a hoped-for first step towards an ultimate political agreement. Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić and Kosovo Prime Minister Abdullah Hoti signed the accord at the White House, while President Trump signed a letter formalizing U.S. support. Folks, we haven't seen anything like this, and I mean anything like this, since the SALT II Treaty during Carter's administration. I mean, really. People can always make the argument about Glasnost during Reagan's administration, but that was a different thing. That was all within the Soviet Union and you know, the end of communism. This is Muslim states normalizing ties with Israel. This is huge. So, speaking to reporters after the trilateral meeting, O'Brien drew attention to the Israel-Kosovo part of the agreement, calling it another really signal accomplishment of the Trump administration. I don't know that you'd call it a signal accomplishment, but it's certainly a signature accomplishment. It took 40 years to have 2 Muslim-majority countries recognize Israel. Now we've had 2 more do it in less than a month. Jordan normalized relations with Israel in 1994, 46 years after the establishment of the State of Israel. Egypt had done so 15 years earlier. The UAE-Israel Accord was announced at the White House on August 13th. And then you got Kosovo, a former Serbian province, unilaterally declared independence in 2008, 9 years after NATO went to war to end Serb aggression against its ethnic Albanian Muslim majority. To Serbia's chagrin, roughly half of the UN member states, including the U.S., recognize Kosovo. Russia, a close ally of Serbia, which strongly opposed the NATO intervention, leads a bloc of governments that does not recognize Kosovo. So led by Special Envoy Richard Grenell, way to go, Rich, former ambassador to Germany and acting director of national intelligence on the Trump administration, got the neighbors to agree to focus on normalizing economic ties, including the opening of the border crossings, setting aside thornier political issues for now. And I mean, really, it's hard to argue. This is This is huge. And this goes towards the, you know, there's a, there's another part of this story. I guess it's kind of related to this story. It's not really a part of it, where Trump has now been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. We'll touch on that a little later. As a gesture of goodwill, Kosovo agreed to freeze for 1 year its attempts to win more international recognition in return for Serbia undertaking a freeze for the same period with its efforts to deny Kosovo that international recognition. But in keeping with its often orthodox approach to foreign policy, the administration persuaded Serbia to agree to one exception first, to not stand in the way of Israel recognizing Kosovo and vice versa. Israel welcomed with enthusiasm the twin achievements of another Muslim-majority country agreeing to normalize ties and the prospect of the two new foreign embassies in Jerusalem. Kosovo will be the first Muslim-majority country to open an embassy in Jerusalem, said Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The circle of peace and recognition of Israel is expanding, and additional countries are expected to join it. Criticism, as anticipated, came from Palestinian leaders and Secretary General of the Arab League. To be expected. Turkey's Islamist government also deplored both countries' pledges to locate embassies in Jerusalem and warned that in Kosovo's case, it would harm its efforts to win further diplomatic allies in the future. Turkey is among the countries that recognize Kosovo's independence. Also expressing dismay was the European Union, which has been engaged for years in attempts to resolve the Serbia-Kosovo dispute. Both Serbia and Kosovo aspire to join the EU someday. Serbia is a candidate and Kosovo a potential candidate for accession. And spokeswoman for the EU's Executive Commission, Peter Stano, on Monday sounded a note of caution. He said there is no EU member state with an embassy in Jerusalem. Any diplomatic steps that could call into question the EU's common position on Jerusalem are a matter of serious concern and regret. And this is where you see where the EU actually stands in relation to the sane part of the world. After their trilateral meeting with President Trump, Serbia's Vukic and Kosovo's Hoti held talks in Brussels on Monday, the latest in a series of EU-mediated negotiations that began in 2011, but have produced little lasting progress. The EU's quote-unquote common position on Jerusalem is that its status should be decided as part of an Israeli-Palestinian peace settlement. Then what difference does it make if somebody puts an embassy there? I mean, that will fall under that agreement anyway at one point or another, or it won't. Who cares? It's done. On Twitter, Kosovo's political leaders underlined their intention both to normalize relations with Israel and to locate their embassy in its capital. My government is dedicated to open the embassy in Jerusalem, establish diplomatic relations, and deepen bilateral relations, reaffirmed Hoti after the visit, while President Hakim Tachi, I'm getting better with these names, said Kosovo will keep its promise to place its diplomatic mission in Jerusalem. Looking forward to opening our Kosovo embassy in Jerusalem very soon, added Kosovo Foreign Minister Meliza Haradinaja Stubla. Try that one three times fast. In an apparently unrelated move, Malawi's president a former Assemblies of God minister, in a State of the Nation speech on Friday, announced plans for the small Southeast African country to establish an embassy in Jerusalem as well. So, with all this peace talk going on between Israel and Muslim-majority nations, as we alluded to before, President Trump has been nominated for the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize for his work on the agreement between Israel and the UAE and these other countries. He was nominated by a member of the Norwegian Parliament who also claimed to not be a huge Trump fan, but he said, quote, "I think he has done more trying to create peace between nations than most other Peace Prize nominees." Well, there you go. Tybring Gjedde, a four-term member of parliament and chairman of the Norwegian delegation to the NATO Parliamentary Assembly, said in his letter nominating Trump, the agreement could be a game changer in the Middle East because other countries will follow in the footsteps of the UAE. He also cited Trump's key role in creating new dynamics in other protracted conflicts, such as the Kashmir border dispute between India and Pakistan, and the conflict between North and South Korea, as well as dealing with the nuclear capabilities of North Korea. The letter also praised Trump for withdrawing large numbers of troops from the Middle East. Trump and the Pentagon plan to announce a reduction of U.S. troop levels in Iraq from 5,200 to about 3,500. That was expected today. I don't know if they actually made that announcement or not yet. The administration is also expected to announce the withdrawal of additional troops from Afghanistan in the coming days, according to a senior official. Tybring Gjedde and another Norwegian official also nominated Trump in 2018 after his Singapore summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, but the president did not win. He told Fox his nomination wasn't about trying to gain favor with Trump and said that he is not even a big supporter of the president. The committee should look at the facts and judge him on those facts, not on the way he behaves sometimes. Hey, that's fair. The people who have received the Peace Prize in recent years have done much less than Donald Trump. For example, he said, Barack Obama did nothing. He's right. He did nothing. Obama was awarded the prize in 2009 in a decision met with criticism from Trump, then a private citizen, and others, notably worldwide. Presidents Jimmy Carter, Theodore Roosevelt, and how in the hell Woodrow Wilson ever got one, I'll never know. But they have all been recipients of the Nobel Peace Prize. The recipient is decided by a five-person committee appointed by the Norwegian Parliament. The 2021 winner will not be announced until next October. So, that being said, show of hands in the chat room, who thinks Trump deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for what he's doing right now? Is there anybody that thinks he doesn't deserve it? I mean, speak up. This is your chance in there. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think the man makes a great point, the man nominating Trump. I think he makes a great point in that other winners have done far less, especially here in this year. Show me somebody who's done more. And then have somebody show me who's done more that's going to be more impactful. We now have UAE allowing Israeli airplanes to fly in its airspace. We now have Israel allowing UAE planes to fly in their airspace. I'm telling you, it's incredible what's going on over there in that part of the world right now. Is it going to solve all the problems over there? No. And, you know, if you remember a couple weeks back, there was an article where Biden was criticizing these agreements that Trump had reached, saying that he was piggybacking off of his and Barack Obama's efforts. We also covered that in the story and how Biden cited his 7 visits to UAE, but didn't have any discussions about normalizing relations or agreements to do so, and only met with their prime minister one time out of his 7 visits. So we can take the claims of Joe Biden and we can flush them where they belong, because we know better. We know better. We see what's happening, and we see who's doing it. We see who didn't do it in the last administration. And that's it. It's cut and dry. Does President Trump deserve a Nobel Peace Prize? I think he's certainly done enough. Just this handful right here is quite a handful. I mean, again, show me somebody that's done more. I'm willing to look at the case. But for right now, I think he does. But again, do your own homework. All right, bottom of the hour. We got to take a commercial break. I need to refill my drink. I need to plug my phone in because it's beeping at me that it's dying. And we need to pay the bills and all that good stuff. So Rick is going to push a button. You're going to enjoy some music. And then we're going to get some commercials, stretch your legs, get your butt unnumb, and get yourself back here in about 3.5. And we'll start up again. Okay? Deal. I've been jumping through some hoops. Wanna get my body loose. Wanna tell you what to do. I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling. Looking for a diamond. I'm trying. I'm fighting. Riding in the rhythm now.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your healthcare? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their healthcare. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. The best music in radio are right here in my bumpers and my opening and closing credits. Good to be back. Hope you got your drink refilled. Programming reminder, Red Wine coming up in 24 minutes right here on KLRN Radio, followed by Amish and Robinson. Yes. And then America Off the Rails.
Si, senor, except it's Robinson and Horty.
Robinson and Horty.
There we go. That's better.
Yes. Because he's such a radio whore.
You could take radio out and it would still be viable. Just saying.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not like he's working behind the Circle K like some people on Twitter's mom.
Well, you know, but he is the one helping to fund the woman behind Circle K.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody needs paste.
Just saying.
Oh, all right. Anyway, so yeah, coming up, top of the hour, Red Wine, Diane and Hammy will be having a Who Wore It Better contest on the Red Wine tonight. Already headed to the Circle K. The chat room is killing me. Hey, that's Guatemala Rooster. I saw, or no, is it?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, okay. Hey, I saw one that was an Amish buggy flying a Trump flag off the top of it. Anyway, oh, that's great. Horty heading to the Circle K. I'll tell you, if you're not in our chat room at klrnradio.net/chat, you are really missing out. That's where all the fun happens. Oh, my God. What a riot. Everybody in there is in their underwear, too, so it's just crazy. Anyway, let's get serious again. The U.S. job openings, now we're not talking about unemployment rate here, so follow me on this. U.S. job openings increased further in July, and more workers quit their jobs in the retail as well as professional and business services industries. Experts say that this is likely because of fears of exposure to COVID-19 and combined that with problems of child care. A lot of child care facilities have had to close down during this time, and it's causing a serious crimp for parents that are looking for a place for their kids to go while they try to work. So job openings are a measure of labor demand, and that number jumped 617,000 to 6.6 million on the last day of July. The Labor Department said on Wednesday in its monthly job openings and labor turnover survey, or the JOLTS report. Yeah, I know. They always have the cutest little acronyms. Anyway, vacancies remain below their level of 7 million in February. The job openings rate shot up to 4.5% from 4.2% in June. The number of people voluntarily quitting their jobs increased 344,000 to 2.9 million. There were 152,000 workers who quit their jobs in the retail sector. In the professional and business services sector, 98,000 workers left. State and local government education reported 35,000 workers quit in July. Hey, let me tell you something, okay? State and local government education workers that are quitting over COVID-19, you need to get the hell over yourself, okay? You got grocery store workers, you've got Walmart, you've got Lowe's and Home Depot. These people worked straight through this whole thing. And you're pissing and moaning and whining because you have to be around kids who are the lowest level of transmitters of this virus that there are as far as a demographic is concerned. You're just being stupid, and you're letting the union work you out of your job. The JOLTS report followed on the heels of news last Friday that the economy created 1.37 million jobs in August, after adding 1.73 million in July. About 10.6 million of the 22.2 million jobs lost at the depth of the coronavirus pandemic have been recovered. Now, a lot of these jobs have not been recovered due to, let's just say it, Democrat governors who refuse to open their states and put people back to work. Literally, when these states open up, 10 million out of those remaining 12 million jobs are going to just, they'll be gone. And there'll probably be about 2 million people that are still looking for work after that. But they'll find it pretty quick. I'm telling you, we got to get this country back up and running. Shutting us down is not the answer. Now, moving a little closer to home, not all the way home, but closer to home. Voting integrity activists are going to try this week to convince a federal judge that Georgia should scrap its brand new touchscreen voting machines in favor of hand-marked paper ballots. The state, meanwhile, will ask the judge to order no changes, especially with an election looming. A hearing scheduled for Thursday and Friday will be the latest skirmish in a long-running fight, a lawsuit filed in 2017 against state and county election officials that originally challenged the state's old, outdated voting machines has morphed to the target of new machines and the election system that Georgia bought last year for more than $100 million. U.S. District Judge Amy Totenberg, who scolded state officials for failing to address serious problems with the old system, said the purchase of a new system was a step in the right direction. She must now decide whether the new system places an unconstitutional burden on the right to vote. The election integrity activists say the new voting machines are unaccountable and unverifiable and have many of the same security vulnerabilities as the old ones, despite Totenberg's warnings that the state must have a secure and reliable voting system. State officials, on the other hand, are arguing that the new machines have been thoroughly tested and that security measures will prevent problems. They say the activists are seeking changes through the courts after failing to get the outcome they wanted in the legislative process. They also argue that the U.S. Supreme Court has cautioned lower courts against ordering changes close to an election. The activists have sought help from the courts for years. They argued in 2018 that the touchscreen voting machines Georgia had been using since 2002 were vulnerable to hacking and provided no way to confirm that votes were recorded correctly because they lacked a paper trail. They asked Totenberg to order a switch to hand-marked paper ballots for the midterm elections. Lawyers for the state argued that the switch would be difficult, costly, and cause chaos. In an order on September 18th of 2018, Totenberg said the activists had demonstrated the threat of real harms to their constitutional interest, but she said forcing a change to hand-marked paper ballots less than 2 months, before an election was too risky. Well, guess what? Now we're within 2 months of another election, so we already know where this is headed. Totenberg's ruling had harsh words for the state, saying election officials had buried their heads in the sand, failing to address serious problems with the voting system that had long been evident. She warned that any further delay is not tolerable, and in the next legislative session, lawmakers authorized the purchase of a new election system to include ballot marking machines that print a paper ballot. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, in July of 2019, announced the purchase from Dominion Voting Systems and vowed to have it ready for voters to use by March 2020. Now, with the state still planning to use the old system for some special and municipal elections in the interim, the voting integrity advocates asked Totenberg to order the state to immediately stop using the old system and to use hand-marked paper ballots instead. On August 15th of last year, Totenberg once again declined to order a switch to the paper ballots, citing worries about election officials' capacities to manage an interim switch while also implementing the new system on a tight timeline. But she prohibited the state from using the old system past the end of 2019 and ordered election officials to use hand-marked paper ballots if the new system wasn't ready in time for the presidential primary. She also again offered scathing criticism, devoting a considerable portion of her 153-page order detailing the state's shortcomings in addressing concerns about its voting system. The state, she wrote, has minimized, erased, or dodged the issues underlying this case. In mid-January, with the March primary date fast approaching and many counties still awaiting delivery of the new voting machines, the activists urged Totenberg to order a more concrete backup plan. Lawyers for the state assured the judge they were on track to meet their deadlines. Totenberg told both sides during a conference call that she didn't consider herself a guarantor for Georgia's election system rollout. It may end up being a mess, she said during the call, but that's on their heads at this point. Interesting. The primary elections were moved to June because of the coronavirus pandemic, with a runoff in August. The June election was marred by problems, including long lines and polling places that opened late in 20 counties. Lawyers for one set of plaintiffs said the new system has proven to be spectacularly chaotic and unreliable. Lawyers for the other set of plaintiffs, including the Coalition for Good Governance, argue that allowing the November election to proceed on the new system would result in a colossal train wreck for democracy, which will leave counties and the state utterly unable to defend their election results against charges of fraud and error. The new touchscreen voting machines print a paper ballot with a human-readable summary and a barcode that is read by a scanner to tally votes. But voters can't be sure the barcode read by the scanner accurately reflects their selections. This is according to the activists. Many voters also don't take the time to check the human-readable part. That's their fault. I will say that right now out loud. That's their fault if you're not checking it and making meaningful audits impossible, they say. The new system has many of the same security vulnerabilities as the old system, and equipment malfunctions, inadequate poll worker training contributed to long lines during the primaries, the activists argued. The scanners also failed to count some valid marks on hand-marked absentee ballots, they say. Switching to hand-marked paper ballots would be easy because that's already the backup plan in place in case of emergencies like equipment failure. State officials argue that the activists have failed to identify any specific problems with the new voting machines and haven't identified any active security risk or hacking potential. So they're asking the federal judge to overstep her authority and wade into a process governed by state law. And with the November election practically already underway, switching at this point would be too costly and disruptive, the same old argument that has worked every time. There you have it. That's Georgia in a nutshell. We got a couple serious things to hit on here real quick, and we're going to move kind of fast, but I want to take a second, and I want to tell you guys and girls, check on your friends. I have an acquaintance on Twitter, and I will not be mentioning any names, but last night I was informed that this person was not doing very well and was talking crazy out the dark side about possibly taking their own life. Turns out that did not happen, thank God. But we just don't know the effect that not just the pandemic, but all the fallout from it, the economic part of it, the job side of it. You know, we don't know what's happening in everybody's lives. Take a moment and check on the people you care about. Make sure they're okay. Please, please don't take it for granted that everything's fine because you haven't heard anything bad. And I'm not asking you to send the police over to beat their doors in unless you have a really, really good reason to do that. But please check on one another. Make sure that your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones are okay. Because it absolutely just rips my guts out to see stories, people talking about so-and-so took their own life because they lost their job and they didn't know how they were going to support anything and, you know, their family. And it just, it's heartbreaking. And you know what, while we're on the topic, let's go ahead and do a quick, and we've done this on the show before too. So just bear with me because it's my show and I'll do it as much as I want. Drug users, addicts, don't just be dismissive of them. Don't just assume that they're garbage people. Not every person that shoots drugs into their veins or pops pills or smokes weed is a bad person. Good people make bad choices in this world. It happens all the time. What we need to be reminded of is that these people have loved ones that care about them. They may have children. It doesn't matter. We're all human beings, and we need to damn well start acting more like it. And every time I see somebody make a shitty comment about an addict or about somebody that threatens suicide, I'm gonna knock you upside your head on Twitter. Expect it. The Twitter boot will be coming. Now, let's see. We're getting tight on time. I think we can do both of these, though. Florida man, meet your match. A Florida woman went into an adult novelty store where she removed her clothes and began using the pink-colored device on herself. A Fort Pierce, Florida cop was dispatched early Tuesday morning to the Lion's Den Adult Superstore in reference to a disturbance. En route to the business, a dispatcher noted that there was a female in the store wearing a purple shirt and no pants. Before the officer entered the Lion's Den, a worker explained that the suspect had removed the sex toy from the packaging and was now fully nude and was making use of the included batteries in the pink object. The officer entered the stock room where he found Teresa Stanley, 36, sitting in an office chair with her feet on the desk and had a pink-colored, we'll just say it, she had a vibrator in her hand and was using the device in a masturbatory manner. Florida man, you got work to do. Keep up, bud. As we wrap the show, we like to do so on a high note. Hormel Foods, yes, Hormel, like the canned chili and canned meats and things like that, announced last week that it will begin offering 2 years of free college tuition to all the children of their American employees beginning in 2021. Not based on achievement in test scores or GPA, the new program is a way to create equality in education admissions, and the company hopes many who take advantage of the offer will be first-generation college students in their families. They're calling it Inspired Pathways, and the program will begin in the fall of 2021. A spokesperson for Hormel Foods told GNN, the company has 16,000 domestic employees, and the program is open to any dependent child of those workers. The company has more than 30 plant and office locations in the U.S., primarily in the Midwest, and the kids can attend any community college of their choice as long as they graduate from high school and meet the school's entry requirements. When you think about how a college education can change lives and start a ripple effect that will be felt for generations, that's the change maker Hormel Foods wants to be, said Jim Snee, the company president and CEO. Our goal is that it costs us a lot. We want as many people to go as possible, he said. The company isn't just investing money into the program. They're also making a large effort to make sure people know about it, encouraging supervisors to reach out to their employees and help guide them through the process if they're interested. A Hormel Foundation has offered a similar program in the past couple of years that allowed students from Austin, Minnesota, and where the company is headquartered, to attend Riverland Community College free of charge. This is an expanded version of that highly successful Austin Assurance Scholarship to benefit the high school graduates of Hormel employees across the country, rather than just students who live locally. Austin Public Schools Superintendent David Kranz said the foundation's program had been instrumental in getting students into college who might not have gone otherwise. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a positive piece of news to end the show on. That is the show. I hope you liked it. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, You need new ones, but they and you are welcome right here with me every Wednesday night on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
Here's to us. Here's to love.